Best-selling historian Stephen Ambrose died yesterday at the age of 66. He had lung cancer. He played a major part in renewing interest in the history of World War II. His bestsellers about the war include D-Day and Band of Brothers. His bestseller Undaunted Courage told the story of Lewis and Clark. He was very prolific, with about 35 books to his name. But earlier this year, he was accused of having plagiarized some passages of his books. In August of 2001, Fresh Air guest host Neil Conan spoke with Ambrose about the book he had just published, The Wild Blue, The Men and Boys Who Flew the B-24s Over Germany.
You tell this story mostly through the experiences of one pilot and his crew, and the pilot is George McGovern, or I guess I should say Ambassador McGovern, the former U.S. Senator, the Democratic Party's presidential candidate in 1972. Why did you pick George McGovern?
I had been with McGovern in Austria at Innsbruck in 1988 when he was asked to participate in a television documentary that the Austrians were producing because he had been a bomber pilot. And he was reluctant, but he accepted finally and went to do the interview. And it was a woman who was sitting at the desk, and she said, "Now, Senator McGovern, you're world famous for your opposition to war, and especially to the bombing in Vietnam. Yet you were a bomber pilot in World War II. You destroyed our beautiful cities. You killed our women and children. Don't you regret that?" And George said, "No, I don't regret it at all. I wanted to liberate your country, Austria, and Europe from Hitler. And I wanted to do my part, and so I was a bomber pilot. No, I don't regret it at all." Well, she was very distressed to hear that and disappointed. And McGovern then added, "There is one bomb that I do think about quite a lot and I regret a lot." And she, "What was that?" She said, "What was that?" Well, he was flying back from a mission over Vienna back to his base in Italy. And the crew called up, "Skipper, we got a bomb, the last bomb, stuck in the bomb bay door, half in and half out of this airplane."
This is a 500-pound bomb.
500-pound bomb. And George immediately said, "Well, we can't land with the bomb sticking out of the bomb bay. You got to either get that thing out of there, drop it, or we're going to all have to bail out when we get over Italy."
And nobody wanted to bail out.
Nobody wanted to bail out. So a couple of the navigator and the radio man went to work on that bomb, and they finally got it free and dry. Now, by this time, McGovern was down about 10,000 feet above the ground. And it was a clear day, and they could watch the bomb go. It hit a farm and just blew it to smithereens, the house and the barn, big fire and so on. And George looked at his watch. It was high noon, and he said, "Oh, oh." He came from South Dakota. He knows what time farmers eat lunch. And he thought, "Oh, Lordy, this is a peaceful little farm. It's not bothering anybody, and I just killed some people." And, oh, he just felt terrible. And he thought about that a lot over the years between the war, and this happened in 1945, and 1988 when he's on the Austrian TV. Cut. And then a couple of weeks or months later, whenever, they showed it on the television in Austria. And the station got a call from a farmer who said, "It was my farm. I know exactly when it happened. I know it was a single bomber up there. And I want you to tell Senator McGovern, nobody got killed. We saw that bomb and we got into the air raid shelter, he and his wife and his two daughters, and nobody got killed. So please tell Senator McGovern that." "Okay, we will." And then he said, "But one other thing I want you to tell him. I don't care what other Austrians say today. I hated Hitler. And my thought as I watched my farm go up in smoke was, if this shortens the war by 1 minute, it's worth it." Well, the station called George and gave him that message. And as George says today, it just wiped the slate clean. Well, that story has always stuck with me. And then a couple of years ago, I was having dinner with George, and he said that a reporter had been interviewing him and wanted to do a book on his career in the Second World War. 35 missions he flew, got a Distinguished Flying Cross. And I said, great, tell the reporter to start with that story of that bomb stuck in the bomb bay door. And George looked at me and said, I wish you were writing it. And I said, well, George, I would love to do that, but this other guy's already gotten started. George said, I'll talk to him. And he did, and I got the assignment, and so I did this book.
We're listening to Stephen Ambrose speaking with Neil Conan on Fresh Air. Ambrose died yesterday. We'll hear more of this interview, which was recorded in 2001. After a break, this is Fresh Air. Best-selling historian Stephen Ambrose died yesterday at the age of 66. We're listening back to an interview he recorded in August of 2001 when Neil Conan was guest hosting Fresh Air. Ambrose had just published The Wild Blue, the story of B-24s and the men and boys who flew these heavy bombers in World War II. It focused on the experiences of one crew and its pilot, George McGovern, who was later elected to the Senate and ran for president.
McGovern's crew got its first taste of real combat on their second mission, and it's something you describe in your book. And I was wondering if you could read us an excerpt. It's about their second mission together as a crew, and they're flying to a target in Austria called Linz.
Hitler's birthplace. It was at Linz, on this, their second mission, that McGovern said, we got introduced to combat. The flak was heavy. Up to that point, McGovern had thought that exploding flak looked like firecrackers and rockets going off. He learned better when a big slug of flak came right through the windshield, high into my right. It hit just above my right shoulder and to the right of my head and then fell down onto the floor between Rounds and me. Rounds was his co-pilot. McGovern and Rounds looked down at it. Rounds looked over to McGovern and just shook his head. McGovern did the same. The shrapnel was, McGovern later said, the angriest-looking piece of metal, just jagged on every edge and big enough to tear your head off if it hit a few inches to the left, or maybe a few more inches on Bill Round's side. It was freezing at 25,000 feet, 50 degrees below zero Fahrenheit, in the cold rush of wind. Despite all the sheepskin-lined jackets and pants they had on, despite their electrically heated suits, it was just ferocious, that cold rush of wind. McGovern managed to keep his plane in formation, but barely. All I could do was just sit there and do my job, he said.
There must have been an awful feeling of lack of control when you're up there being fired at by cannon 88s, those famous German guns from the ground. There's no way to dodge. There's nowhere to hide.
The Germans developed a system in which they would shoot up to the altitude the planes were coming in on, 20,000, 22,000, whatever, and they would shoot up and create a box of exploding shells, all of them sending out shrapnel that could kill it as much as 50 feet or even more away. And they would have a box that would be 2,000 feet or more wide, 2,000 or more feet deep, and it just looked like, and this is the words of the pilots, it just looked like hell up there. And the idea of flying into that terrified everybody. But if you were going to drop your bombs where you were supposed to, you had to fly into that flak. And they did.
Stephen Ambrose, a lot of people must wonder, you never served in the U.S. military yourself.
No, I did not. There's a explanation. I was born in January of 1936. Now, every man alive, from the beginning of time, always has a question in his mind. Am I a coward? And the only way you're ever going to find out is to go into combat. But most men are born at a time that they're never going to see combat. I was too young for World War II. I graduated high school in 1953, and I was going to join the Marines, but Eisenhower shut down the Korean War, so I went to college instead. And by the time of Vietnam, I had five kids, and I was much too old. That's the experience of most men. I don't know if I'm a coward or not. I've never been confronted with it. I never was in combat. Right.
Why did you get so interested in writing about it? You've written, I don't know, I'm not going to tote them up, but you know, a bunch of many of the best books about World War II.
I got into it because I was a historian, trained at the University of Wisconsin, And it seemed to me then, and does now, that war is always decisive. The thing that drives me as a writer is curiosity. I want to know, how did Dwight Eisenhower rise from a man that, had he died in 1941 when he was 51 years old, nobody would have ever heard his name? How did he rise from that to be the Supreme Commander and our leader in war and in peace? Or how did the men who jumped out of airplanes, you talk about crazy, these guys jump out of perfectly good airplanes. How did they do that, and with what effect? So my curiosity drives me, and I never have considered doing anything else than satisfying that curiosity. And that means the only way I can really find, I did a book on the building of the Transcontinental Railroad, for example, and my question there was the same. How did they do that? How, from between 1863 and 1869, in that short space of time, did they do something that had never been done before? Build a railroad across the continent? Well, I can only find the answer to that question by writing about it. The research is what I learned from, and then also the writing. And I'll think, geez, what does the reader need to know next to be able to follow this story? Or I'm doing a little repetition here, I got to cut that out, or whatever. But I learn from the act of writing. And that's what I've always wanted to do, is learn.
Historian Stephen Ambrose speaking with Neil Conan in August of 2001, when Neil was guest hosting Fresh Air. Ambrose died yesterday at the age of 66.